We greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I apologize for my voice. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf. This morning, I was blessed by the last song we were singing. There was the second verse. It says, "Wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord, the lamp that our Father above so kindly has lighted to teach us the way that leads to the arms of his love." This morning, my subject is more of a history lesson, maybe. My message title this morning is, "You Are Witnesses." And we're going back to the first four books of Acts to take a look at this transition when the Father very formally lit the lamp and showed us the new way, the way that we have to God. So you can turn with me to Acts 1. In many ways, this is a history lesson. It's not a deep doctrinal lesson. It's more, Brother Eldon mentioned in the Psalm reading, it talks about calling on God. Brother Eldon said it's for strength of our spiritual heart. And you know, many times in life, when I'm facing something challenging, I look back and I say, "But God, this is where you called me to be. I'm sure I'm where you called me to be. And I trust your grace to take me through." And I would like that to be our experience as we go through the book of the first four chapters of Acts this morning. That as we look back, it strengthens our hearts. It strengthens our roots. It helps us to go on and face the battles ahead of us. I'm going to read the first four verses at this time, Acts 1, verses 1 to 4. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me." So I want to first look at an introduction to the book of Acts. He says here, first of all, that he wrote another book and that this is a sequel to that book. The only other book that I know that is addressed in this way is Luke. If you go to the beginning of Luke, he actually has a very similar introduction. See, maybe I'll just read that real quick. I think it's verse 3 in chapter 1. Yeah, I was thinking this is where it references Theophilus, but it's actually later in the book that it references it. Okay, so Luke 1, verse 3, he says, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus," oh, it does mention his name there, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So Luke and Acts were both addressed to Theophilus. And we'll notice that in these first couple of verses, what he did was recapped just the very ending of the book of Luke. So the book The author is identified largely by the addressed recipient, Theophilus, and also the writings. In the Greek writings, there was the same writing style between Luke, same Koine Greek writing style between Luke and Acts. So it's believed to have been the same author. So what happened up to this time? Well, he says he wrote Luke to capture that, and that was to portray the life of Jesus and his teachings as he walked here on earth. So the next question I have is, who is the intended audience for the book of Acts? And I take that from the name Theophilus. I believe Theophilus was probably an actual character, I'm not sure. But his name means friend of God. So Acts is being addressed to the friends of God. Those that care about God, those who really want to know about God. And he says its intent is to document what happened in the Christian church after Jesus ascended up to heaven. And so, to that end, he fairly rapidly goes from through the subject of Jesus' ascension into heaven and into the activity in the church as it was led by the apostles. I'm going to do something here this morning that I don't do very often. I'm going to be reading a bunch from the International Children's Bible. I'm not one of those people that is very quick to pick up a commentary to let it explain to me what the Bible is saying. And I feel the same about other Bible versions. There are some things that I really appreciate in the King James Version. Number one, the manuscripts that it came from. Few versions have come from the Textus Receptus manuscript. And the other thing is the method of translation, thought-for-thought translation. And again, few other versions actually do that. But we are going to do some reading from the International Children's Bible this morning. Keep in mind, as we study doctrine, we will go back to our King James text to find out, to compare to. I'd like a brother to volunteer to come up and read these four chapters for me. Who's willing to do that for me? I have the text right here. Stuart, thank you. Right there, it's double-sided, so page and book over.
Just straight through, I think?
Yeah, it's all right there. Right here, and then flip over each page.
To Theophilus, the first book I wrote was about everything that Jesus taught and did. I wrote about the whole life of Jesus from the beginning until the day he was taken up into heaven. Before this, Jesus talked to the apostles he had chosen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them what they should do. After his death, he showed himself to them and proved in many ways that he was alive. The apostles saw Jesus during the 40 days after he was raised from death. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, "The Father has made you a promise, which I told you about before. Wait here to receive this promise. John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The apostles were all together. They asked Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The Father is the only one who has the authority to decide dates and times. These things are not for you to know. But the Holy Spirit will come to you. Then you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world." After he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up. A cloud hid him from their sight. As he was going, they were looking into the sky. Suddenly two men wearing white clothes stood beside them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? You saw Jesus taken away from you into heaven. He will come back in the same way you saw him go." Then they went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. This mountain is about half a mile from Jerusalem. When they entered the city, they went up to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, known as the Zealots, and Judas the son of James were there. They all continued praying together. Some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers, were also there with the disciples. During this time, there was a meeting of the believers, or about 120 of them. Peter stood up and said, "Brothers, in the scriptures the Holy Spirit said through David that something must happen." The Spirit was talking about Judas, one of our own group, who served together with us. The Spirit said that Judas would lead men to arrest Jesus. Judas bought a field with the money he got for his evil act, but Judas fell to his death, his body burst open, and all his intestines poured out. Everyone in Jerusalem learned about this. This is why they named the field Akeldama. In their language, Akeldama means field of blood. In the book of Psalms, this is written, "May his place be empty, leave no one to live in it." And it is also written, "Let another man replace him as leader." So now a man must join with us and become a witness of Jesus being raised from death. He must be one of the men who were part of our group during all the time Jesus was with us. He must have been with us from the time John began to baptize the people until the day when Jesus was taken up from us to heaven. They put the names of two men before the group. One was Joseph Barsabbas, who was also called Justus. The other was Matthias. The apostles prayed, "Lord, you know the minds of everyone. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to do this work." Judas turned away from it and went where he belongs. "Lord, show us which one should take his place as an apostle." Then they used lots to choose between them, and the lot showed that Matthias was the one. So he became an apostle with the other 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a noise came from heaven. It sounded like a strong wind blowing. This noise filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like flames of fire. The flames were separated and stood over each person. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them the power to speak these languages. There were some religious Jews staying in Jerusalem who were from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a crowd came together. They were all surprised because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely amazed at this. They said, "Look, aren't all these men that we hear speaking from Galilee? But each of us hears them in his own language. How is this possible? We're from different places. Parthia, Media, Elam, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya near Cyrene, Rome, both Jews and those who had become Jews, Crete and Arabia. But we hear these men telling in our own languages about the great things God has done." They were all amazed and confused. They asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others were making fun of them, saying, "They've had too much wine." But Peter stood up with the 11 apostles. In a loud voice, he spoke to the crowd. "My fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, listen to me. Pay attention to what I have to say. These men are not drunk, as you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But Joel the prophet wrote about what is happening here today. God says, in the last days, I will give my spirit freely to all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. At that time, I will give my spirit even to my servants, both men and women, and they will prophesy. I will show miracles in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will become red as blood, and then the great and glorious day of the Lord will come. Then anyone who asks the Lord for help will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus from Nazareth was a very special man. God clearly showed this to you by the miracles, wonders, and signs God did through him. You all know this because it happened right here among you. Jesus was given to you, and you killed him. With the help of evil men, you nailed him to a cross. But God knew all this would happen. This was God's plan, which he had made long ago. God raised Jesus from death. God set him free from the pain of death. Death could not hold him. For David said this about him, 'I keep the Lord before me always, because he is close by my side. I will not be hurt. So I am glad and rejoice, even as my body has hope. This is because you will not leave me in the grave. You will not let your Holy One rot. You will teach me God's way to live. Being with you will fill me with joy. Brothers, I can tell you truly about David, our ancestor. He died and was buried. His grave is still here with us today. David was a prophet and knew what God had said. God had promised David that he would make a person from David's family a king just as he was. David knew this before it happened. That is why he said he was not left in the grave. His body did not rot. David was talking about the Christ rising from death. So Jesus is the one who God raised from the dead. We are all witness to this. Jesus was lifted up to heaven and now is at God's right side. The Father has given the Holy Spirit to Jesus as he promised. So now Jesus has poured out that Spirit. This is what you see and hear. David was not the one who was lifted to heaven, but he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit by me at my right hand until I put your enemies under your control." So that all the people of Israel should know this truly. God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. He is the man you nailed to the cross. When the people heard this, they were sick at heart. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "What should we do?" Peter said to them, "Change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. It is also for your children and for all who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to himself." Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, "Save yourselves from the evil of today's people." Then those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, and they continued to share, to break bread, and to pray together. The apostles were doing many miracles and signs, and everyone felt great respect for God. All the believers stayed together. They shared everything. They sold their land and the things they owned. They divided the money and gave it to those people who needed it. The believers met together in the temple every day. They all had the same purpose. They broke bread in their homes, happy to share their food with joyful hearts. They praised God, and all the people liked them. More and more people were being saved every day. The Lord was adding those people to the group of believers. One day, Peter and John went to the temple. It was 3:00 in the afternoon. This was the time for the daily prayer service. There at the temple called Beautiful Gates was a man who had been crippled all his life. Every day he was carried to this gate to beg. He would ask for money from the people going into the temple. The man saw Peter and John going into the temple and asked them for money. Peter and John looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." The man looked at them, for he thought they were going to give him some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold, but I do have something else I can give you. By the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, stand up and walk." Then Peter took the man's right hand and lifted him up. Immediately the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. He went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. All the people recognized him. They knew he was the crippled man who always sat by the beautiful gate begging for money. Now they saw this man walking and praising God. People were amazed. They could not understand how this could happen. The man was holding on to Peter and John. All the people were amazed and ran to Peter and John at Solomon's porch. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why are you surprised? You're looking at us as if it were our own power that made this man walk. Do you think this is happening because we are good? No. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, gave glory to Jesus' servants, but you gave him up to be killed. Pilate decided to let him go free, but you told Pilate you did not want Jesus. He was pure and good, but you said you did not want him. You told Pilate to give you a murderer instead of Jesus. And so you killed the one who gives life. But God raised him from death. We are witnesses to this. It was the power of Jesus that made this crippled man well. This happens because we trusted in the power of Jesus. You can see this man, and you know him. He was made completely well because of Jesus. You saw it happen. Brothers, I know you did those things to Jesus because you did not understand what you were doing. Your leaders did not understand either. God said this would happen. He said to the prophets that his Christ would suffer and die. And now God has made these things come true in this way. So you must change your hearts and lives. Come back to God and he will forgive your sins. Then the Lord will give you times of spiritual rest. He will give you Jesus, the one he chose to be Christ. But Jesus must stay in heaven until the time comes when all things will be made right again. God told you about this time long ago when he spoke through his holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will give you a prophet like me. He will be one of your own people. You must obey everything he tells you. Anyone who does not obey him will die separated from God's people." Samuel and all the other prophets who spoke for God after Samuel told about this time now. You have received what these prophets talked about. You have received the agreement God made with your ancestors. He said to your father Abraham, "Through your descendants, all the nations on the earth will be blessed." God has raised up his servant and sent him to you first. He sent Jesus to bless you by turning each of you away from doing evil things. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, a group of men came to them. They were the Jewish priests, the captain of the soldiers that guarded the temple, and some Sadducees. They were upset because the two apostles were teaching the people. Peter and John were preaching that people will rise from death through the power of Jesus. The Jewish leaders grabbed Peter and John and put them in jail. It was already night, so they kept them in jail until the next day. But many of those who heard Peter and John preached believed the things that they said. There were now about 5,000 men in the group of believers. The next day the Jewish rulers, the Jewish elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander were there. Everyone from the high priest's family was there. They made Peter and John stand before them. The Jewish leaders asked them, "By what power and authority did you do this?" Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, "Rulers of the people, and you elders, are you questioning us about the good thing that was done to a crippled man? Are you asking us who made him well? We want all of you and all the Jewish people to know that this man was made well by the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. You nailed him to a cross, but God raised him from death. This man was crippled, but now he is well and able to stand here before you because of the power of Jesus. Jesus is the stone that you builders did not want. It has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one in the world is able to save us." The Jewish leaders saw that Peter and John were not afraid to speak. They understood that these men had no special training or education, so they were amazed. They realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They saw the crippled man standing there beside the two apostles. They saw that the man was healed, so they could say nothing against them. The Jewish leaders told them to leave the meeting. Then the leaders talked to each other about what they should do. They said, "What should we do with these men? Everyone in Jerusalem knows that they have done a great miracle. We cannot say it is not true, but we must warn them not to talk to the people anymore using that name. Then this thing will not spread among the people." So they called Peter and John in again. Then they told them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "What do you think is right? What would God want? Should we obey you or God? We cannot keep quiet. We must speak about what we have seen and heard." The Jewish leaders could not find a way to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had been done. This miracle was a proof from God. The man who was healed was more than 40 years old. So the Jewish leaders warned the apostles and let them go free. Peter and John left the meeting of the Jewish leaders and went to their own group. They told them everything that the leading priests and the Jewish elders had said to them. When the believers heard this, they prayed to God with one purpose. They prayed, "Lord, you are the one who made the sky, the earth, the sea, and everything in the world. Our father David was your servant. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he said, 'Why are the nations so angry? Why are the people making useless plans? The kings of the earth prepare to fight. Their leaders make plans together against the Lord and against his Christ.'" These things really happened when Herod, Pontius Pilate, the non-Jewish people, and the Jewish people all came together against Jesus here in Jerusalem. "Jesus is your holy servant. He is the one you made to be Christ. These people made your plan happen. It happened because of your power and your will. And now, Lord, listen to what they are saying. They're trying to make us afraid. Lord, we are your servants. Help us to speak your word without fear. Help us to be brave by showing us your power. Make sick people well. Give proofs and make miracles happen by the power of Jesus, your holy servants." After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke God's word without fear. The group of believers were joined in their hearts, and they had the same spirit. No person in the group said that the things he had were his own. Instead, they shared everything. With great power, the apostles were telling the people that the Lord Jesus was truly raised from death, and God blessed all the believers very much. They all received the things they needed. Everyone that owned fields or houses sold them. They brought the money and gave it to the apostles. Then each person was given the things he needed. One of the believers was named Joseph. The apostles called him Barnabas. This name means one who encourages. He was a Levite born in Cyprus. Joseph owned a field. He sold it, brought the money, and gave it to the apostles.
Thank you, Brother Stewart. A very simple and yet precious history of the beginnings of the church. And now I'd like you to, if you don't have your Bibles open to it, open your Bibles up to the first four chapters of Acts. I'm going to pull out some of the specific details in the story. The first question I have, and I'd like a response from you in the audience, What was the expectation of the apostles as they were coming into this time in Acts? What were they expecting to happen? Acts 1:6 will give you the answer.
They were looking for Christ to set up his kingdom.
That's right. They were looking for Christ to set up a kingdom on earth that would overpower the Roman kingdom, that would give Jewish civil rule back to the nations. So what was God's plan? Verse 8 will tell you that. Was it his plan to spread a witness over the earth of him? He's going, and now his plan is that people on earth would carry his witness forward. And then if we read some of the verses around verse 8, it also brings out the concept that he was planning to actually come back again one day. And then is when he would judge the world. Then is when he would be the civil judge. He would call it a record. Everybody that's on the earth. Okay, so what's the setting at the beginning of this story in Acts? Where are they? Again? Upper room. Okay. And if you back up just a little bit, they were in the Mount of Olives and went from there to the upper room. And our reading told us that it was, here King James gives it in furlongs, but it was somewhere between half a mile and a mile, half a mile and three quarters of a mile from Mount of Olives to that upper room. And so they start in the Mount of Olives. Let's talk about that first, and then let's talk about the upper room. What do we know about the Mount of Olives? What place did it have in the history of Jesus and the disciples? One of the things we know about the Mount of Olives is that the Garden of Gethsemane was at its base. So this was a place that Jesus liked to come with his disciples. This was a place he came for refreshment. This was a place he came for spiritual strengthening. This time it appears that they were up the mountain, that they did not just stop at the Garden of Gethsemane. And that is where Jesus left. That's where he went back up into heaven. And after that, the disciples went down to the upper room in Jerusalem. That's where their story with Jesus gone from the earth started for them, in that upper room there in Jerusalem. So Jesus was with them on Mount of Olives. He's suddenly gone. The disciples moved to an upper room in Jerusalem. And that's where I would say we see the birth of the New Testament church. Yes, it really started with Jesus teaching and preaching before. But when Jesus prayed in John 15 for his disciples, he said, I'm going to go, and the Spirit is going to come, and the work that I was doing is now going to be done by many. And we see the effects of that. But first of all, what were they doing in the upper room during the wake? What were they doing there? Children may answer these questions too. Verse 14 gives us the answer to that. What were they doing? Praying. They were praying in the upper room. What were they doing in their prayers? Verse 14 also tells us that it was supplication, which means they were asking for something. it doesn't really tell us what they were asking for, but we see God's response. I believe they were probably there praying for the coming of the Spirit. What else were they doing as we move into the following verses? Verses actually takes the whole way from 15 to the end of the chapter. What were they doing? What I see them doing here is filling the void that was left by Judas. There had been 12 apostles. And Peter got up and said, there were 12 of us, now there's 11. And we need to replace number 12. And so while they were spending their time in that upper room, they were working at a replacement apostle so that the number would again be 12 as Jesus had chosen. So another thing, as we look at the birth of the church, we have several first happenings to the apostles. This is one of them. This was their first ordination. This was the first time that as humans, they had to establish a leader in the church. Chapter 2, what do we see as a first there? Right from the get-go, the first couple of verses. That was the first time happening we see here in chapter 2. The Spirit poured out upon the believers. Now, the Spirit of God did settle on some people in the Old Testament. So you might say the Spirit itself was not a first-time thing, but this is the Spirit coming in response to Jesus' promise when he left. So this is the first we see that happening, when the Spirit would come in and dwell in the life of each believer. How did the Spirit come? Yes, a rushing mighty wind. And you know, when I think about that, I have to think about John 3, where a couple of years earlier, Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus the Spirit. He said, it's like the winds in the tops of the trees. You can see it moving, but you don't see the actual Spirit. But you see it working, you see it moving. And so it's very interesting to me that when the Spirit came, it came as a wind. You could hear it. You could hear it coming in. But you could not see the Spirit. You could see what it was doing. What else? What else was visible whenever the Spirit came? The tongues of fire. It says there was tongues of fire that were divided. Cloven means they were separated. They were divided. And that it was over each one of them. So I'm not sure if this was a fire that came down from heaven as a flame and then split out to each of the believers. That's the picture that I get, because it makes specific mention that the flame was divided and settled over top of each one. Okay, how did people respond to it? Verses 6 to 11. It says they were amazed, they were surprised. And it says people came together to see it happening. You know, sometimes we talk about how fast news travels in our circles today with our technology and things we have. But you know, news traveled there. This occurrence happened, and just as quickly, people were gathering together to see what was going on. It was the talk of the town. People came to see, is it really true that the message of God is being preached in all sorts of languages? And it says when they came together, they were surprised because they heard it in their own language. This was the Feast of Pentecost. And so people were gathered together from various areas to Jerusalem. But each one heard it in their native language. Now, some mocked. Some laughed at it. But Peter was pretty quick to stand up and explain to them, this is not a result of drunkenness. Use your own logic. Use your own common sense. You can see that this is supernatural. And you know, many people agree to that because we see God's purposes being realized. The people are coming together. The message is being preached. Everybody is understanding it. What was the result of that in verse 37? Conviction. People heard the message of God and they were smitten in their hearts. They said, what do we need to do? Verse 41, many received the word. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said was the intent of him leaving? So that the Spirit would come and that more people would spread his word and that more would come to him. In fact, it was in that context that he gave the Great Commission. He said, go and teach all the world to everyone. What was their message? Chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. Their message was the gospel. Their message was the story of Jesus and what he came to do. He came to save mankind from their sins. How was it presented? Acts 2, verses 16 to 21. It was presented from the scriptures. They took the scriptures. They didn't have the book that we're reading today. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And they explained to them from those scriptures that it already told them that Jesus was going to come, that it told them that this was going to happen, that this was to be expected. They witnessed of what they knew of Jesus' life, the fulfillment of these scriptures. They said, these are things we know, these are things we witnessed, these are things we saw. And it wasn't done in secret. It was done very directly. It was done in public. You saw it too. The message was presented with power. Acts 3. They could do miracles. What was the purpose of these miracles? Again, the purpose of these miracles was to spread the message of the transforming power of God. When they came in and healed that lame man, people came running to hear them talk. How did this happen? How did this man raise up? He's been crippled for many, many years. We've seen him by this temple gate for many, many years. And now he's walking. It's these same men that were out there talking all these languages. He's walking. And they used it as an opportunity to witness, verses 12 to 26. They went right into a sermon. They said, this man is here because of the power of God, and listen to the story. This is what happened. And they went right back and rehearsed that same story of Jesus, how Jesus came, how he showed the way, how he died at the hands of them and their rulers, and how he is giving forgiveness from sins. Acts 4:13, the message was shared with boldness. They were not afraid to preach. They made no apologies. The message was delivered simply and clearly. Next, I want to look very briefly at the cost to the messenger. If you read Acts 4, it's a story of suffering. These men suffered for speaking boldly. These men suffered for bringing the message of God right out in front. They were arrested. They were beaten. And yet they went right back to the preaching. You know, that was no surprise to them. The end of Acts, they said, "This is the same thing that happened to you, Jesus. You brought the message, you suffered for it. And now it's our turn." They were not surprised by it. They did not run from it. Now I want to look briefly how was it lived by the converts. First thing I see is they loved temple time. These people are seen in the temple over and over and over again in the book of Acts. They went when it was prayer time, which I think was three times daily in the temple. They went every time they expected the word of God to be heard. They were there. We see them there very frequently. What about when they were at home? It tells us what they were doing there. They were sharing food in their houses. I think they probably realized an extra great need for that because of people that had traveled in for Pentecost. But people were sticking around to hear the message of God. And it says people shared food from house to house. What were some of the results of accepting Jesus? And you'll notice some of these are blessings, and some of these are sacrifices. Which I shouldn't say some are blessings and some are sacrifices. They were all blessings. Blessings come sometimes in ways which we appreciate. Sometimes they come in ways that are good for us, which we don't naturally appreciate. Results. The first thing I see is unity. They were sharing together in their houses. They were sharing their possessions. They were making sure that their needs of each other were met. Right after that, I see sharing and persecution. Then I see receiving the Holy Ghost. Each person that came as a believer received the Holy Ghost. And you know, that just empowered the work that much further. They were experiencing the power of God. Talks about how the name of God went forth. Talks about how when they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. There was no lack. Today, this story is given to us because God wants you and I to be his witness in the 21st century. The story here is clear, it's preserved, it shows what went on, how it was done. And today, God wants us to be his witnesses. And you know, today, he will provide the power and boldness to witness for him if we are willing to be his vessels. With that thought in mind, let us kneel for prayer.